suggested that we explore sex a bit and tantric sex. Let's sort of look at the work of Walter Russell. In his mind, the universe is about sex. The universe is sex. If you have plus and minus particles, or you have male and female, or you have yin and yang, you have polarities interacting. So if you are dealing with interacting polarities, why not focus on the relationship between those opposites and understand that those opposites actually complement and complete each other? And in doing so, come to the understanding that when we talk about sex, we are not talking about genitals, we are not talking about penis and vagina, pumping, grinding movements like some of the movies try to portray it. We are actually not having any discussion about the difference between lust and love, which is basically about connecting or not connecting to the other. Love evidently is when there is a connection, and lust when there is only a perceived connection or a projected connection. It's actually the difference between perception and projection. So perception and projection too are complementarities, complements. So once that is clear, then it is also evident that we should be able to look beyond those complements. We should be able to look further than those seeming opposites. And we need to understand that the opposites are only half of the stories. And it doesn't matter if it is in the terms of electrons and protons, or plus and minus, or positive and negative, or if it is in the terms of male and female, man and woman, penis and vagina, or if you look at it at the molecular level, between the rod molecules and the ring molecules, if you look at the quantum level, the linear momentum or the circular momentum, because the story is just the same at all those levels. So when you take Walter Russell as an example of a different approach to sexuality, to see that sexuality and sex is universal, then of course you end up with the same kind of understanding and appreciation as you find in India in the perception of Shiva. As Shiva, half male, half female, creator and destructor, how is that different from a proton and electron who together can do that dance of Shiva, out of which sparks and waves can come, which then creates the whole dance of creation, which is also known as the dance of Shiva? And that in that sense, the principle of a creation is the act of sexual union, which the alchemist called then the mystical marriage or the alchemical marriage. It is all about understanding that positives and negatives are two aspects of the same story, two halves of the same story. And yes, you can have a whole advertising industry who proclaims loudly and noisily the Vestal Virgins as being the ideal companion to selling a snazzy car, or had to have this image of the muscular male as being the dominant leader of the species. But those are such distortions of understanding that all of the people who get tainted or polluted or poisoned by those images forget that the male and the female are always half of the story and need to be in balance. And so the notion of the male macho boss who is in control of things is a distortion of the reality that this guy can do nothing if the female does not somehow convert his input into new offspring. It is the female that is the carrier of life in the species, not the male. So however muscular the male is, he cannot reproduce, and by rape he might be able to reproduce himself by force, but on the long run the female will always be able to decide on that by spontaneous abortion, by abortion, by killing the offspring, by killing the male. There are so many ways in which this balance can lead to violence of another kind. But if we want to get away from this perception of violence, which has been carried into our culture for such a long time, essentially we can just simply say that the Roman culture was one of rape and murder, which ransacked and pillaged the cultures around it so that the Romans could live a life of luxury. Yes, they instilled Roman rule, but at what expense? Why didn't they just come out and seduce the others by saying, hey guys, we are like little Switzerland, we have this wonderful constitution, it works out really great and well for us, let us show you how we do it, and if you like, you can join our canton. This is how Switzerland grew from basically three cantons which decided to help each other in case of emergencies, to other cantons deciding, well, actually this is a good idea, let's join in, which is quite the opposite of Romans going out into the rest of the world and saying, now you're going to join us and we are protectors. That's called the mafioso protectionism scheme. And yes, you might be able to seduce that woman for a while, and you might have her produce children for a while, in the same way that the Vikings also plundered the harvest and pillaged the women. But over the long run, it doesn't really do it. The only thing which does work, when people know that they are respected, then they can express themselves, and that you change the philosophy of rape to the philosophy of love. And that is where you then go to a different kind of understanding, because the sexual notions and concepts which you have at the moment in the Western culture is very distorted. If you look at the school education, when I was in school, the biology teacher himself was too scared to address sexuality, so that when in the class questions came up, how does this really work? He banished the class to write about herbology and plants, and copy the book on plant leaves, because he didn't know how to handle it. And if a professor of biology doesn't have that capacity, then others cannot have that capacity either. And you can see that over the course of the last decades, the priest telling the women to reproduce has been replaced by a school teacher who gives sex education to minors, and in doing so has very, let's call them, Roman or mechanical, mechanistic, material perspective of sexuality, in which the notion of plants and bees are still at the core of the model of the explanations. It has turned into a materialistic model of complementary sexual principles or complementary sexual parts, and maybe a little handbook on the grinding of the sexual parts together, as if they were millstones and you were trying to grind flour, without the lack of music, without the lack of love, without the lack of the complementarity of the realization that the female and the male are actually opposite extremes of the human being. And that in the female you have a hormonal preponderance, a proclivity to sensing and feeling and going for the large connection, and while in the male you have a testosterone predominance with a capacity to focus and to direct, as in Greek mythology it was described already in the notion of Mars and Venus. Mars had the artisan, but also the soldier, Venus, the mother, but also the planter. And together you then have the male and the female who can have the home and can have the garden, who can care for the children and care for the house. So it is that shift of understanding by seeing the complementarity which is much called for, and that which is also the reason, or a probable reason, why many people in the Western world have shifted from the Western perception of sexuality, which in a way maybe we could simply say has now become dominated by the model of pornography, which is just sex turned mercenary, that sex, like everything else, has been turned into a means to produce money, while people ignore the fact that money is a form of slavery. So when you go to the Eastern perspective, then you see that sex is about sensuality, it is about sensing, but also appreciation, and also respect and mutuality, and that it is not just about gender complementarity, but also the respect that the male and the female will by necessity sense and feel and react differently. The female reacts from the basis of feeling, and the man is more inclined to look at the image. The man can be seduced by the image and can get an erection based on imaginary only. That's of course what Hollywood and the over-the-hill Fernando Fali with the pornography industry cashes in on. But the opposite is that you can also see that there is this connectedness in the sexual experience, and which of course ranges from the bodily contact to a shared dynamic, let's call it the dance of sex or the sexual interaction. This is where we really need to come to a shift of the language, because the Western world language basically goes into, let's call it simply and bluntly, a manual of sexual intercourse, in which they describe that there is the male and there is the female, that there is different positions and that there's different recipes for what you're supposed to do, and then the outcome would be probably, presumably, an orgasm of some kind. And what is left out of the story, which the Catholics keep on hammering, is that that would ultimately, possibly, potentially lead to a conceptualization and a birth. So yes, in the Western world they try to disconnect sex from childbirth by having pornography separate from love, and let's simply say that's one of those things that the Western world tends to do: analyze and separate and pull apart. And in that sense you can blame the Western world for destroying the planet with the toxins and with the radiation and with the other things which come from that Western world mindset. So yes, it is very powerful, it can do a lot, it can actually destroy the world, but it is still an incomplete story. So yes, there's a good reason to travel to the East and discover that in your own body, when you're comfortable and relaxed in your own body, you start to feel more. You start to understand that there are deeper levels of feeling, and that some of those deeper levels are actually sexual, sensual feelings. And that there's actually, if you go into it and sort of take it out from the microscope and put it in the telescope, you can see that these sensual and sexual feelings are not separate. But if you expand the time scope and the time horizon of the sexual interaction and go from the microwave sex variety of the West into the slow cooking or sun cooking variety of sex in the East, then you end up with the same difference as in frying an egg or hatching an egg. It's the same amount of heat, but the outcome is different. If you hatch the love and the sexual experience in the East, then you end up with a loving and sensual experience, because you actually start to feel things which otherwise you would not be able to focus on. It's like the difference between pop music and symphonic music. Is your bit of music 1.5 minutes or 3 minutes long, or is it an experience of an hour and a half or maybe 3 hours? In those 3 minutes, things will get excited and you will be swept up by a rhythm, and your body might even start to pulse in correspondence. Mind control actually makes use of that kind of entrainment. Or are you going to a symphonic experience where you start to dissolve into the music, and as a result can dissolve deeper in other levels and layers of sensations and feelings within you, that even hidden layers which were sort of suppressed under the magic carpet of depression come out, and people start to glow and maybe weep in feeling how the music dissolves them and thaws out all these things which got stuck within them. That's quite a different kind of sensation. So in the East, it is that kind of symphonic experience of sex. And of course, once you know it, you don't have to go to the East, but you can do it in your own home. Because all you have to do is go from the fast pace to the slow pace, go from the forceful rhythm to the sensing rhythm, go from the male perspective to the female perspective, and go from the sexuality to the sensation. And as a result, you will discover that in that shift from projection to perception, from, let's say, pushing to letting it happen, that in your body a whole manual will open up of deeper and deeper and deeper levels of meaning. Because once you start to relax into those sensations, the sex sort of slows down, the erection of the man becomes less forceful and more a kind of mainstay in the symphony, and it is the exchange of the interaction, which is physical, mental, soul level, spirit level, so body, mind, soul and spirit are all involved. But it's also physical, chemical, electromagnetic and quantum field, which is consciousness based. But you can only get to that once you slow down that whole process of the alchemical and orgasmic cascade, which starts with a physical contact, which then goes into a physiological, let's say, chemical response, which then goes into a neurological shift with a different activation of the hormonal regulation in the body, which then goes into different levels of consciousness. If you do the slow phase of physical, physiological, neurocrine to consciousness, then basically you end up with Paul Coelho's notion of the male doesn't get any further than the 11-minute orgasm, and then when the man comes, he goes. Or that you go into this other mode of perception, as Andrew Cohen said, for the male sex is 5 minutes, for the female it is 18 years. Once you can slow down sexuality from to the perspective that this can lead to an 18 years, then by slowing it down you get more and more feeling about what's going on. You cannot skip over the path of the road where there are potholes. You will actually need to delve into the parts where you need to retune, recalibrate, reconnect, as a result of which the torn parts of the story in yourself and in the other can open up, can be repaired, can be fixed, and so you get a mutual healing. And in that mutual healing, come back to that notion of Walter Russell, of the universe is sex. It is all about the balance between the plus and the minus, the yin and the yang. So if there are rifts within it, in the universe, the whole universe will show how it actually does work, because from the origination of the universe, you can see that it does work. It's just a matter of realizing that all of the hiccups that took place in your past or in your partner's past are things where something was just skipped over, was not integrated, and as a result it potentially disintegrated. Once you know that, you can go into that, let's call it the pain point or the frozen part or the blind spot, and then in the interaction with the other, the other can shine light of the blind spot, or your valley and their mountain can complement each other. The life stories can educate each other, and most of the life story is recorded at the body level in the body memory. So in sex, that's actually what is happening, what is turned on. It is not a verbal conversation in spoken or written language, but it is the language of the body language, and that's actually much more poesy than prose, even though in Western medicine they look at the body language as prosaic, a sort of matter-of-fact, logical, and they forget that the body language is actually a full music, that it is poetry. And when you go in the sensation of the body, and the slower you go into it, the more you feel into it, the more you discover that there are all these rhythms, not just the fast ones, but that the fast ones are basically only the overture of the slower ones. That's a bit as if the Requiem of Verdi went bam, 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 and then it goes, and sort of you're all awake. I actually use it as a wake-up call while I was studying, as my kind of alarm. And then the music starts to go from there. It's like the story of the Big Bang. Actually, there was no Big Bang because there's nobody to hear it, but it also wasn't an explosion because it was a very much slower process because it was at a much larger scale of much smaller scale of development. But out of that, what people now call the Big Bang, came that whole symphony of what we call the universe. And so sex is all about that. As Walter Russell says, the cosmic creation is sex, and once you understand that both are the same, then in sex you can look for that cosmic creation. You can look for the mutuality. You can look for the duality. You can see that the complement gives the completion. But it is as if you need to learn that language, that from body language, you need to go from learning about the difference between what your body does and what the other body does. That's why male and female together can unfold things in a different manner than male and male and female and female. A male and female, they have that complementarity of neurons and hormones. They have that complementarity of, say, the physical, the mental, the soul and the spirit level, showing that what is actually complementary and completing at the physical is also doing that in a different manner at the mental. This is also doing that, but much more as a sort of parallel aligning at the soul level, which is also taking place at the spirit level, where you actually see that they're already integrated, but you can now become aware of that. So that deepening of the story of the integration of the male and the female in the body, physical, physiological, regulatory system, consciousness level, is then also a shift first from the body to the mutuality of the body. In your body you can start to feel what the other feels. People who are working with hypnosis and with massage therapies and other so-called subtle energy therapies learn that in their body they can feel what the other is feeling. But there's a deeper level that you can feel that the other's feeling what you're feeling, and the other way around, so that you're in that way no longer feeling from the perspective of your body or perspective of feeling the body of the other, but that you're feeling from the perspective as if both of you are outside of the body. And of course there's a whole knowledge of going out of body from the dream state, which actually takes place at the sexual level too. So Tantra is about the learning to become aware of what happens in your body, so that you can also learn that you can feel what's happening in the body of the other, but that you can then also feel what's happening in both bodies, that there's actually a dance going on between both bodies, that you're feeling and what you're feeling of the other has merged into a dance in which you're feeling the direct interaction to what the partner is doing. And at that level, in quantum theory, you would say that your electromagnetic field and the electromagnetic field of the other is now creating a co-joint or complementary electromagnetic field, which is the composite of those two fields. It's like two notes of music together, creating a lower and a higher harmonic, and something new arises, just as between two loudspeakers, stereo can emerge. And so once that combined field starts becoming noticeable, and you really need to slow down, you really need to practice on that, and yeah, a steady partner is the key to most of that. And then in tantric experience, you will discover that that combined field actually continues to exist outside of the sexual experience. And when you go into the sexual experience, it is as if you're pushing the swing. That combined field is opened as if you're exploring together a landscape which is mutual. And the more you go into that, the more you discover that that mutual landscape is actually not your landscape, not your partner's landscape. It is a joint landscape, but it is also starting to connect to the universal landscape. So you're actually shifting from your body physiological, say, electromagnetic or etheric sensation into the catheric or cosmic sensation. And that's also why Tantra is connected to mantra, is connected to yantra. In a mantra, you feel the vibration within you. So mantra is very much an exercise playground to start to feel in you how your body responds to vibrations. And with the different kind of tunes of the mantra, you introduce specific kind of patterns, let's call it molecules or musicules, of vibrations into the body. And you will discover that different kind of mantras, like you respond differently to different kind of melodies of music, your body will start to respond differently to the different tonalities of the mantra. It is as if you're doing a chemistry using the molecules, the musicules of the vibration of the mantra to interact with specific aspects of the body. Again, think of the body organs as being the gods of the Olympus. Each god or each organ has this little sing-song that it can recognize, and it starts to activate. And so there are organs that start to activate. There is connective tissue that starts to activate, because some of the tones resonates in different parts of the body. That's also the work of Henk Kooi with his Soma Vox. If you use the word haring, herring with the a, haring, then you actually the ha pulses on the pelvis. The a resonates in the belly. The rrrr vibrates the diaphragm, and thus also goes into the chest, and the ing goes through the head, out through the crown. So in the word haring, you actually go from the bottom to the top into the body, and that is the essence of the mantra. You can address different levels. You can address the bone level, you can address the muscle level, you can address the organ level, you can address the sensory system brain level by these tones. And so by using the mantra and using the mantra for yourself, you become aware of what's doing it. Singing the mantra for somebody else, they can feel that same kind of response without making the sounds themselves. So as part of the love interaction or the sex interaction, the use of the mantra is the tuning of the body by those vibrations, and the mantras which have been created are selected so that they can fine-tune but also correct vibrations in the body. It's a power tool, and you need to be very subtle in using it, and it could take a time, especially if you have still frozen programs and old memories which got stuck in your system. They need to be thought out and evaporate before you can start to resonate the part which got lamed and crippled by them. And once you start to open up the body more and more by the mantra, you'll discover that when somebody else sings the mantra for you, you can not only feel the mantra in your body, but also around the body. And actually, mantra healing is based on that. You can sing the mantra into the body, but you can hear by the resonance or dullness of the body in response to where you sing the mantra. So you sing the mantra around the body as if with your hand you would caress the whole body. So it's definitely part of the tantric sexual interaction. The mantric sexual interaction is the using of the sound to stroke the body over the whole surface from top to bottom, but it also goes all the way deep in. And people can feel that, and not only do they feel that within the body there are things that are responding, but also they can feel it around their body. There are things that are responding. They actually start to feel their aura more and more. So once the mantra is attuned and in place, then the tantra can attune in place, because that is then the action of experiencing. And once you understand that that connection is there, then of course you can also understand that the yantra is part of that. And the yantra is the symbol, the use of symbols to trigger thoughts and to trigger emotions and to trigger feelings. And as you might know, there are many symbols which have strong emotional or sensorial connections. Many people associate, for example, the swastika with war and violence in the Second World War. And people do not know that the swastika, turned the other sense, is the principle of the vortex that creates the universe. And once you tune into the sensation, you see the symbol, you know that it is a vortex, you know that's the connective force that links all of the universe, you know that is the emblem of love in that sense. And then just seeing the symbol will remind you of all of that, and remind you of all of the experiences that you had where you saw the vortices in nature, two rivers coming together, the tornado in the wind, the vortex when you pull the plug of the bath, and you know that it's about connecting the part and the whole. So you know that there is something deep within you which correspond to that, and that connection is actually then called the chakra. So you can then use yantra, which is symbolism, in Egypt it was called symbolic magic, to link to something which you know and can feel and can sense in the body. And in that way, and Tibetans and other cultures do that with their sand drawings and their other mandalas, as paintings for those symbols, which once you know them, and it is like learning the letters of an alphabet, so that you can spell sentences and read whole stories into that that image, then you understand that that yantra, that mandala, is actually a chemical notation of an atomic combination of atoms forming a specific molecule of thought, or a molecule of experience, or a molecule of realization. And as Stan Tennant pointed out, the Hebrew letters are actually hand gestures represented as symbols on paper. And once you understand that what the hand gesture is that corresponds to that letter, you can see if that is the hand where you connect to yourself, or that's the hand where you're reaching out to open your hand to somebody else, or if that is the hand where you're warding something off or pushing something off, or if that's the hand by which you're able to scoop something closer towards you, then you can see that that letter system that Hebrew alphabet is actually a language of how you can move your hand to put things around you further at the distance or closer towards you. They are as if the equation sign by which you relate to your environment, yes or no. And in a broader sense, that whole yantra system is, say, the alphabet and the grammar and the language and the idiom syntax of that graphic language of understanding how you connect to the environment, and thus also how you how you connect to the other. So if you realize that the mantra is where you connect to the vibrations in your body, and I described that separately in Math and Musics, then you can see that the tantra connects to the understanding and the consciousness in our body, and that I described in the Science of Life. So on the one hand, you have the mantra, which is then predominantly geared at resolving and, let's say, dissolving the body. You have the yantra, which helps you connect to the universe by seeing how the principles in you are universal. So the mantra and the yantra are, say, the physical and the metaphysical level, which then you can bring together in the tantra, in the action. So you connect body and mind. And once you see that in sex, you use both of them, but you also use the polarity of male and female, which means you use the polarity of the electric and the magnetic, and then indeed you find yourself right at the core of cosmic creation, which is where Walter Russell, in his graphic, artistic, scientific understanding, showed it in the forms of the flow in nature, and also the flows in the universe, the flow in the electromagnetic field, which is the flow in the field of consciousness. And then indeed you can say that sex is universal, sex is cosmic, and the only question is, are you stuck in the Western model of sex is physical, tangible, and basically it doesn't last more than a couple of seconds, so to say, or do you go to the Indian notion of sex is physiological, and that it is the whole process of attuning the bodies so that something much deeper can come into mind? Or are you aware that sex, like in the Far East, is, let's say, soul level? It's a dance, it's an art, where the tantra or the Taoistic sex come into play. That's actually the souls connecting, using the process of the flow in the body to connect the bodies, but that actually the bodies are no more than the handle by which you can go through the process and go into that transformative state. That's what the tantric and the Taoist state is about, that you go from the physical to the metaphysical, and in that in-between level, that's called the electromagnetic level, you discover that your field and the field of the partner is actually starting to interact with the universal field. And that's where you can then go to that deepest level of sex, let's call it the description of Walter Russell, where you discover that the process in your physical body and the process in your mind, or the physiology, and the process in the sexual interaction, the electromagnetic mutuality, conjointness, is actually that process which operates in the universe. And then, of course, you are aware that you are no longer involved in sex, but that you are actually involved with cosmic creation. And that shifts your awareness so much that once you realize that, it is as if you are like a cell who has gone from the physical reorganization to the molecular reorganization to the atomic reorganization, to discover that everything is actually happening in that quantum phase space of cosmic universal consciousness. And once you realize that you're cosmic, you actually from then on realize that the only thing that you can do is operate from that cosmic level. You have that cosmic consciousness and carry that in your neurons and hormones at the electromagnetic regulatory system, which the Chinese call the meridian system. And from there on, you then pour that into your physiological level, which is the process level of the body chemistry, with its cycles and circulations, which the Indians call the chakra system, and that thereby you embody that in your body, in your life with your partner, as the way to male and female to better together be human and to beget human and to actually be the representatives of humanity. And in that sense, once you have that cosmic insight, you are, let's say, a Pope on Earth, because the cosmic consciousness has gone into your electromagnetic consciousness, go into physiological consciousness, and then in the body you know that that connection is there, and you know that even when you're on in a body as a female and your partner is in the body as a male, and you can notice that everybody has that or has that capacity. And that's where you then have gone say from sex to tantric sex to the transcendental sex, which is what the tantric is meant to be for, to the let's say cosmic sex. And then you know that the principle is indeed the same at all levels, and that you can feel and experience and express that in your body.